T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Recency bias. It's a thing that scares all of us. Especially us younger fans like me, where you look at something that happened yesterday, whether it was the Bam Adebayo block to seal game one in overtime against the Celtics for the Heat, and you're looking at that and thinking, whoa, is that one of the greatest playoff blocks in the history of the NBA? And then you got the Nuggets and the Clippers, and the Nuggets end up winning by 15, and you wonder, is that the greatest collapse in the history of the NBA? Is that the worst collapse in playoff history? One of them, I think you can make an argument that it's one of the greatest blocks in NBA history with Bam Adebayo, but I think there are a lot more that people are forgetting about, and we're always looking at the LeBron block on Andre Iguodala. Personally, it didn't have much to do with the game or toward the end of the game, but LeBron's block on Thiago Splitter is one that I'll remember very vividly. But that collapse that the Nuggets had over the Clippers yesterday, I don't think you got to be scared of recency bias, of that term. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that that was the biggest collapse in the history of NBA playoffs. Good morning, everyone. Stephen Langford on the pregame show with you up until 6 o'clock. Kozlo and Dibs will take you the rest of the way. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Would love to hear from you whether you've been watching the NBA for an incredibly long time. I got some 3-1 collapses here written down, and you can tell me if you remember them, if this was greater than the Clippers collapse from the Nuggets, whether that Bam block was one of the best blocks you've ever seen. 888-957-9570. Would love to get your thoughts on that. Coming up a little later on in the program, Allen Robinson apparently wants out of Chicago. I feel terrible for Allen Robinson because he's a very good wide receiver. But starting your career out with the Jags and having Blake Bortles being your number one guy, maybe get you the ball. Nick Foles for a game. Gardner Minshew as well. Or actually, no, not Gardner Minshew. He wasn't even on the team with Gardner Minshew. But when you have Allen Robinson playing with Mitch Trubisky, this is the type of thing that happens when you don't want to pay a wide receiver and you're scared because you don't know whether you want to pay your quarterback. Allen Robinson unfollowed everyone from the Bears organization on Instagram, on Twitter, and now everyone is in an uproar, especially 49er fans. They want to see a trade for Allen Robinson. Whether that's going to come to fruition, we'll talk about that coming up. They also added a wide receiver to their roster already, and we'll get to that a little later on in the show. But yesterday, great day of NBA action. So you started off with the Heat and the Celtics in Game 1, and it was pretty back and forth. I felt like the Celtics, at least with Jason Tatum, were getting the scoring going, and the Heat with the Raptors, they faced a team that was kind of different. So you had Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, two guards, one of which can really create his own shot, and he's their primary scorer, the other of which is the leader of that team, but will also draw as many foul calls as possible and can go off for 30 in big games whenever he needs to. They also got Pascal Siakam, who didn't play the best in that final game against the Celtics in Game 7. You got good players on that team, but you don't have scorers like the Celtics do in their starting five, and that's talking about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And I thought they were playing pretty well yesterday, and it came down to the final seconds. And I don't know. So it came down to the Heat and Jimmy Butler. Tyler Hero made a clutch three to get him within two, and then Jimmy Butler made a three with 12 seconds left to give them the lead. And the play that the Celtics drew up, and they had some time. Really, they just tried to get the ball to Jason Tatum, had him just stand there, no one moving around, no one trying to create any open space. It was just trying to get Jason Tatum one-on-one, and he got an okay shot, but it fell short. They went to overtime, and this was the play that sealed it off as the Heat won by two.
Tatum out front. Clock at seven. Working against Butler, got downhill, couldn't punch it. Bam says, get it out of here. Out of bio, sky high with the block and rejection. That's why he's NBA All-Defensive Team.
Credit ESPN for the audio. Hearing that call and watching that game, they are so lucky to have Bam out of bio. There were multiple times when they just tried to switch Kemba Walker onto him. And Bam Adebayo was able to defend it. He's able to guard, it feels like, all positions as a center. That's why everyone loves him so much, and that's why we're looking at him as one of the most athletic big men in the league. 888-957-9570, Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Was that one of the best blocks in NBA playoff history? I think it was, because Jason Tatum, he comes from the right side. He gets a good look. He gets an open lane. He tries to go for the dunk, and Bam Adebayo just essentially says, no, this is my paint. This is my block. You're not coming to my paint, as Brittany Griner once said in a weird promo for college basketball one time. But Bam Adebayo, with that block, there was a lot of, is this the best block of all time? Is this the best block of all time? And there was only one guy who had a tweet of his greatest blocks in playoff history. And I'm going to go off of that because I've only gotten so much, right? I'm 27 years old. I'm not going to act like I've seen every single block in playoff history, so I can't necessarily make that comparison. But David Aldridge put that at number three on his list out of five. And he used a couple of different ones on there as well. And LeBron's on Iguodala is his number one, the LeBron chase down block. So a guy like David Aldridge, who's been around for a while, and for him to have that as number three, that's impressive. But anyway, that's what happened in game one for the Heat and the Celtics. Really, essentially, it came down to overtime. The Heat, they're the antithesis of the Clippers from what the Clippers showed yesterday against the Nuggets. You know what? The Clippers were up. Right, the Clippers were up by nine at one point in that game, and the Nuggets were able to claw their way back. But in the fourth quarter, it just felt like the Clippers gave up. And you know, you saw this lead, you saw it get to 12, and then you're like, okay. Then you see it get to 15, and then you see it get to 18 after this shot.
To Jokic. Murray trying to get it. Shot clock winding down. Murray puts up a three. Bang! Jamal Murray from downtown. It's an 18-point lead.
18-point lead with 2.5 minutes left to go in that game. The Clippers wanted none of it. They wanted no part of that game. They had players. They had plays set up for certain players, and they're just saying, no, I don't want the ball. Try and get it to the other side. And they messed up the entire thing. Guys were tired on that team, and the reason I call them the antithesis of the Heat is the reason that Jimmy Butler gets along so well with the Miami Heat and why people feel like he's found his one team is because Jimmy Butler is one of the hardest workers in the NBA. He's the type of guy that gets up at 3 in the morning, goes to work out, and then goes to practice, works hard there, maybe drinks a $20 cup of coffee that he's so popular and serving, I think, in the bubble. It's random. Look it up. $20 cup of coffee. It's really weird. And I'd like some. But Jimmy Butler, the reason he likes the Heat so much is because of how hard they work. And when you hear that the Clippers, they're tired in the final moments of the game and their conditioning is not there, that's why I call them the antithesis of the Heat, because the Heat, they're ready. They're battle-tested already in practice and they put that work in. Clearly, the Clippers don't. These are professional basketball players, after all, and they load manage during the season. You know, it's clearly a case of one team just wanting it more. Is this team going to stick around next year? I don't know. I really don't. Doc Rivers, not too great in elimination games. I really like Doc Rivers as a coach. I think he's great, and we're going to look at him and call him this, you know, this playoff loser, this perennial playoff loser, because he's collapsed multiple times, including one in 2015 to the Rockets. But this could go down, and I'm telling you, this series, the past two games, when you're up by, 19 in the second half, and you give that up in Game 6, and then in Game 7, you don't even show up? Look, recency bias is just a term we like to use so that we can make anyone feel bad for saying that this is one of the greatest of all time. But if you go down the list, the 68 Sixers, the 69 Lakers, the 79 Spurs, 81 Sixers, 84 Lakers, 87 Pistons, 95 Suns, the 2015 Clippers, the 2016 Warriors, and also look at last year too, when the Warriors were without Kevin Durant. And then in 2019, we can look at that too. But those were actually competitive. It didn't feel like those teams ever gave up. And here's Doc Rivers after the game. And this is what he pointed out as one of the key problems.
I just wasn't, I just knew conditioning wise. Like we had guys that just couldn't play minutes. And that's hard, there were two or three times a night. But we actually started getting it going, and a guy had to come out. And it is what it is. So no, I was never comfortable. I can tell you that up front. I told our coaches that.
Never comfortable with a team like the Clippers, and the Clippers. It's interesting seeing already. I mean, we saw in the bubble when they were talking about the Blazers and going on Twitter and acting like they won stuff, when Pat Bev is all on Instagram saying Cancun on three with the crying face emoji, blah blah blah. Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum talking trash to him. It's just funny watching those two go back and forth when they haven't won anything. But the Clippers have always felt like that team this year, especially, that looked like they'd already won something. It felt like they were carrying themselves in a way that they already thought they were the premier team in basketball. They're going straight to the Western Conference Finals. There's nothing that's going to stop them. It felt like they had that sort of personality, right? 888-957-9570 from the 925. $20 coffee. Does it come in a panda skin cup? There's no way coffee is that expensive. They got to be putting ivory straws in those drinks. It's a Jimmy Butler business. It's a Jimmy Butler. He likes coffee. He's a really big fan of coffee. These guys are actually, when you look at it, they're connoisseurs of different things. Carmelo Anthony is like a total wine connoisseur. Jimmy Butler, one of those guys. They're high class. They're high class. $20 is nothing to these guys. They could use it. From the 415, I don't think the Clippers collapsed as much as the Nuggets. The Nuggets are much better than... Wait, hang on. Let me read that again. I don't think the Clippers collapsed as much as the Nuggets are much better than anyone expected. Dude, you can't tell me right now that a team giving up in the second half that is meant to be one of the favorites to go to the Western Conference Final, you can't tell me that that's not a collapse. The Nuggets are much better than everyone expected, and Jokic, we're going to talk about him next, because Jokic is one of the best big men that we've seen. He was just doing whatever he wanted to the Clippers yesterday, and they didn't have an answer for him, but when you are trying to throw the kitchen sink at them and you can't do anything in the fourth quarter, I consider it, look, it's hard for me to imagine another NBA team in the past when you go down the list that has gone out like that by blowing a 19-point lead in the second half of Game 6 where they clearly gave up. And then in Game 7, when they just couldn't show up in the second half because of the conditioning, like Doc Rivers said. I think it is. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number if you want to get in. Was that the greatest collapse into the history of playoff basketball? The Clippers losing to the Nuggets. That's all coming up. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
AAA 957-9570 is a Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number if you want to get in. Stephen Langford in with you on the pregame show. I don't know why we had the conversation before about whether there would be an asterisk or not when we're talking about this bubble in the NBA final. I don't really know why we even mentioned that. Why we talked about that. Because it's different. Because it's something that we haven't seen. But what that game did yesterday is what you like about the NBA playoffs. And this song is oddly appropriate. I can't keep on losing you. This really applies to the Clippers for today. From the 415, but that's not a collapse. That's conditioning, which is a huge portion of the game. I don't think conditioning is equal to a collapse. From the 510, Langford, you would fit in perfectly with those choker chump Clippers. Nice. Nice. Look, that was a collapse any way you slice it. Now, shout out to the Denver Nuggets, though. Jamal Murray with a big game, 40 points. But Nikola Jokic, to me, was the star of that game. He was doing whatever they wanted. The Clippers couldn't figure it out. The Clippers and the numbers that were going against guys like Montrezl Harrell when they were trying to guard Jokic on the pick and roll, the numbers were insane. Zach Lowe wrote a column about it yesterday, and he pointed it out. I can't remember the exact number, but it was a little over minus 50. Minus 50 when Montrezl Harrell is guarding Jokic on the screen and roll, something like that. And that's what happened with the entire series. So they had this opportunity to try and make adjustments in Game 7, and they didn't seem to do that. And really, recency bias is something, and I opened the show with this, recency bias is something that is real, right? And it's something that we're also scared of. You know, we're afraid to say that a moment that happened in the game is one of the greatest in history, right? Whether that the Dame Lillard shot over Paul George last season, whether that's one of the greatest shots in playoff history, Kawhi Leonard's shot against the Sixers, that being one of the greatest shots in playoff history. There have been so many great playoff shots, game winners, buzzer beaters, that it can compete. But I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that the Clippers and what they did in these past two games, the second half being up by 19 and then losing it in Game 6, and then in Game 7 letting the Nuggets beat you by as much as 18 with 2.5 minutes left thanks to a Jamal Murray 3.
To Jokic. Murray trying to get it. Shot clock winding down. Murray puts up a 3. Bang! Jamal Murray from downtown! It's an 18-point lead!
The first team in history to come back from two series down 3-1. But, I mean, if you go back and look at it, at least these teams that have lost in a 3-1 series, at least they made it somewhat competitive in Game 7 and looked like they actually cared. You know, the one of the more recent ones that we go back to and that we know very well here as Warrior fans is back in 2016, right? That one hurts. But also, that one came down to the closing minutes of that Game 7. Even if you don't think it should have been to a Game 7, it was there, and it's what happened. And it came down to the closing moments of that game, and it took a Kyrie 3, dagger 3, to really seal the deal for them, and a Steph Curry missed shot also. But this one, the Clippers just looked like they gave up. They really did, and Doc Rivers spoke about it after the game. I'm going to replay the sound for you, but he talked about the conditioning after the game.
I just knew conditioning-wise. Like, we had guys that just couldn't play minutes, and that's hard, you know. I mean, there were two or three times a night where we actually started getting it going, and a guy had to come out, and I mean, it is what it is. No, I was never comfortable. I can tell you that up front. I told our coaches that.
And to the guy from the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, it's funny. It is a funny text. Langford, you would fit in perfectly with those choker chump Clippers. I don't like to put labels on guys. I'm not going to call them chokers or chumps because they've been through a hell of a lot more than I have to get to where they are. So I'm not going to go so much as that far. I think you should reevaluate yourself and take a look at yourself in the mirror before you start calling these athletes anything you want to. But I also think, though, that this game yesterday, and you know what? Kawhi had a bad game. He only had 14 points on the night. And it's not necessarily Kawhi that I'm looking at. They tried getting him going in the fourth quarter, and he just didn't seem to have anything left. And Kawhi has proven himself, right? But when Paul George gives himself a nickname like Playoff P, and the last two memories that we have are one of him giving up that shot to Dame Lillard when Dame Lillard just dribbled up in his face and shot it from 100 feet deep. But also, we're going to look at this and look at his stat line and think 10 points on 16 shots. You go 2-for-11 shooting. Here was the saddest part, and this is the saddest stat to me out of all of them. Paul George, 0-for-1 from the free throw line. He didn't even try and get to the hoop. He didn't try and pressure Nikola Jokic, right? You had Jeremy Grant on Kawhi Leonard, and he actually didn't do too bad of a job defending him. But Paul George had an opening to try and have a big game and save the Clippers from actually this embarrassment. But instead, he goes 0-for-1 from the free throw line, doesn't even try and get to the rack. And he ends up with 10 points on 16 shots. And they went 12-for-16 overall from the line. And when Jokic is picking and popping, doing whatever he wants, just taking the ball up top, setting screens, getting Jamal Murray open. And also, Marcus Morris, I got the name right, I think. It is Marcus. Markieff is on the Lakers. Got that right. But when Marcus Morris shoved Paul Millsap, when they were up in the third quarter, that clearly lit a fire under their butt. And I should say the other word. It sounds weird saying lit a fire under their butt, but they did, and they ended up coming back, and the Clippers had no answer. They just didn't seem to make any adjustments. And again, 888-957-9570. It's a text line, is the phone number. If you want to weigh in, was this the greatest collapse in NBA playoff history? And you could go down the list and, you know, I mean, you could look at the 84 Lakers. You can look at the 95 Suns. You can look at the 2015 Clippers. You can look at the 2016. You could look at the 2019 Rockets. You could go back to 1968 and look at the Sixers. There are multiple occasions where teams have been up 3-1 and lost, but they haven't lost in this fashion where it looked like this team was just done. 888-957-9570 from the 831. Jokic exposed Kawhi, who will never be on Curry's level as a leader. You know what? That was going to be an 831. That was going to be an interesting conversation going forward. Because I was talking about this yesterday. If Kawhi, by some, and JD and I were talking about it from 10 to 2. if somehow Kawhi wins a championship with the Clippers this season, if he did, and he won it with the Spurs, and he won it with the Raptors, really doing it by himself, clearly the one X factor in that series and for that team in the playoffs, we could have been having that conversation with Kawhi and Steph in the same vein, and the type of legacy that they're leaving behind. But now it just seems like, I mean, what are we supposed to do? Again, Kawhi's done it before, so we know what Kawhi is, right? It's we're not going to look at him any less because of this series. We were just going to. It's either really as far as Kawhi's legacy goes, he doesn't have. It felt like he was only at a point where we could only elevate his legacy rather than put it down for what he's already done after this series. I'm not looking at Kawhi any less, right? But if they would have won and, say, won in the finals, that would have done something to boost his legacy to a point where we would have been having separate types of conversations. But, again, that series yesterday, you got to give the Nuggets a ton of credit, though. I mean, they came back twice from a 3-1 deficit. They're going up against the Lakers. I don't know what to expect anymore because they're a team that is dialed in. They know what they want to do. They've had consistency with their roster with guys like Gary Harris and Paul Millsap who made clutch threes in the final moments. It can't just come down to Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. They need more, and they got that last night. But again, I really don't think it's too much of a stretch to say. And you know, okay, from the 415, I guess I just don't like the term collapse because it takes a spotlight off the team that won the series. They said the Dodgers collapsed last year and gave zero credit to the Nationals, who ended up winning the World Series. That's a good point. That's a very good point. Anytime we're talking about underdog stories and all of that, we never really look at the Nationals. That's a good point. That's a really good point. But It that's what it is. I don't know what to call it. I don't like using the term choke. Choke is just, it's just too strong. You know? I don't know what it is about it. I don't know what it is. And you and I, as sports fans, we can have our own different things in terms of what we just do and do not like saying and what we don't like mentioning. And if you don't like mentioning collapse because it takes the spotlight off the team that won the series, that's okay. But also, I mean, we got to look at Game 6, we got to look at Game 7, and the fact that they were up by 19 in Game 6, and they just didn't seem to get up for Game 7, one of the most important games in Clippers history, dare I say, and they couldn't get it done against this Nuggets team that already has had a 7-game series in this last one, it's tough. From the 95, can't stand Beverly, love to see them lose. Beverly was doing it defensively yesterday. He had a sequence where it was just an incredibly nice defensive sequence late in the game, but he just can't score. Not a very good scorer on that team. Anyway, 888-957-9570 if you keep on wanting to weigh in. We got some football to talk about as well because the wide receiver carousel is circling, whatever you want to call it, because Allen Robinson is unfollowed everyone from the Bears organization on his social media. So instantly, we think that means a trade. Ian Rappaport cleaned it up. But coming up next, you're going to hear from Peter King, who is on with Damon Radwankulski for his weekly interview. You're going to be able to hear Peter King every week here on 95.7 The Game in the NFL season. So we're going to play that for you, a portion of it for you next. And also, just continuing to talk NBA. For the 415, should anyone be surprised the Quitpers didn't show up for Game 7? The Quitpers. I don't know. I don't know about that one. 888-957-9570. Steve Eichner on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Wow, that actually timed out really well. Good morning, everyone. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game. Thank you so much for tuning in at 5:40 in the morning. Hopefully you are all staying safe. And hopefully you're ready for the workday. It is Wednesday, so we're on the home stretch heading into the weekend. Thank you so much. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. For the first half of the show, in case you missed it, just talking about what happened in the NBA yesterday, whether it was the Heat's win over the Celtics and this insane block by Bam Adebayo.
Tatum out front. Clock at 7. Working against Butler, got downhill, couldn't punch it. Bam says, get it out of here. Adebayo, sky high with the block and rejection. That's why he's NBA All-Defensive Team.
Or whether it was the Nuggets thrashing of the Clippers in Game 7.
To Jokic. Murray trying to get it. Shot clock winding down. Murray puts up a 3. Bang! Jamal Murray from downtown. It's an 18-point lead.
Credit ESPN for both of those highlights. And I'm just glad Mike Breen could get a bang in there. You need a Mike Breen bang every now and then. And Jeff Van Gundy pointed out that one, I forgot who shot the air ball, but does that deserve a bang, Mike? Oh, no, it doesn't deserve a bang. But I've been calling. Now, we looked at Bam Adebayo's block, and instantly what went down is that's one of the greatest blocks in NBA playoff history. And then when the Nuggets beat the Clippers, we're looking at this as one of the greatest collapses in NBA history. I'm going to look at it as that. And you can look at it however you want. And from the 5-1-0, you can just call it what it was, an upset. Denver upset LA, but it was the way that it happened why I think it needs an even stronger turn than an upset. Now, again, not to take any, because people aren't liking here on the Chilton Auto Body text line that I'm calling it a collapse, because that takes away from what the Nuggets did. I mean, Jamal Murray getting 40 points, Nikola Jokic, really now, this is what makes playoffs so great, is since this is the first playoff team that's come back from 2-3-1 deficits. At first, so let's just say the bubble started, right? And you got, let's just say the bubble started and we said that the Lakers are going to play the Nuggets in the Western Conference Final. What do you think about that? Oh, that's just a one-way ticket for the Lakers to get to the NBA Final if that's going to happen. But seeing what this team just did against the Clippers, seeing that the Clippers didn't adjust, and you're getting emerging stars like Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. The only thing stopping Jamal Murray from being that superstar is just the consistency that he needs in the regular season. Now, he scores a ton of points, but there are some games where he's a lot of games, actually, where he just seems off. And you saw that the first couple of games in this series against the Clippers. But in Game 7s, man, he turned it on, and he actually called out the doubters here. This is some pretty awesome sound. We're going to get to Peter King in a second. He was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday as we switch over to the NFL. But here's Jamal Murray after the game calling every single one of his haters out.
We've been showing it. We've been showing it. I don't know how else to say it. We've been showing it. And you got Shaq, you got Charles, you got, I think Zach Lowe's the name. I don't even know. Stephen A., all y'all better start giving this team some damn respect, because we put in the work, and we got a resilient team, and, you know, We should have been down 3-1, but you know, to come back from 3-1 against the Clippers, it was a big achievement. So it's fun just to, you know, change that narrative. Y'all can finally start changing the narrative and looking at us in a better light.
Now, will the Nuggets change that narrative against the Lakers, or will the Lakers just make it a non-factor? I don't know. Really looking forward to that series, though, and I think the Nuggets have made it far more interesting and something that you will want to pay attention to. Now, Peter King was on yesterday, and there was a lot going on with Allen Robinson from the Chicago Bears. He unfollowed everyone on social media, said that he wanted a trade, but Peter King, he went on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky, and he shared his thoughts on that and more, including the week one loss from the 49ers. But here's Peter King. You're going to hear him weekly on 95.7 The Game. Here he is with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday.
Let's start with the fact that they lose to Arizona before we get into rumors. What do you think was part and parcel of the Niners dropping week one?
You know, I don't know any team in the NFL that was a snake bit at any position coming into this year as San Francisco was at wide receiver. And I think that there's a reason why you go out and you try to get all this weaponry, why you know, last year they went out and spent early, you know, in the draft, obviously, on Deebo Samuel. And then this year they go out and spend early again on Brandon Ayuk. And when neither of them is available to you after basically having plans, you know, you knew since June that there was a good chance you'd be without Deebo, but, you know, you had no idea really about Ayuk, you know, obviously until recently. And those two things, you can't just say necessarily next man up will be fine. There's a reason why you drafted those guys, and there's a reason why you spent a lot of, you know, a lot of time, energy, draft capital in getting them, and you're not going to be as good if you don't have them. But I think the other part of this really is that, you know, the Arizona Cardinals are catching up to this division. That is a really good team. That was not a stunner of stunners, really, to me. I mean, I think Washington beating Philadelphia was a lot more surprising. Now, it's a surprise, and it hurts the 49ers without any question. And look, now I think what has to happen is that Jimmy Garoppolo's got to raise his level of play, pure and simple, because there are going to be some injury concerns now. And, you know, there's a reason why you made the trade for him and you paid him all that money. He's got to play better than he played on Sunday.
When this all gets boiled down, we'll get a better view of everybody. But what was your takeaway from Sunday's game? Was it that the 49ers have sort of a lower floor than we thought, or that the Cardinals' ceiling is higher?
The Cardinals are better than anybody thought. And that offensive attack, you know, I'm trying to remember who it was, but I was going over the league with the general manager a couple of weeks ago, and this guy loved two teams. He loved who nobody else really liked. He loved the Raiders and he loved the Cardinals. And he just said, there is just so much talent on both of those teams. And when he talked about the Cardinals, he basically was talking about, you know, everybody will talk about DeAndre Hopkins, but he said, what's really going to make that offense go is Kenyon Drake. And no one realizes that Cliff Kingsbury, or nobody thinks about Cliff Kingsbury demanding a great running game, you know, and everywhere he's been, it hasn't just been fill the air with footballs. It's the running game too. And so I think that they have put themselves in position, you know, to contend for a playoff spot without any question. And so that isn't the surprising thing. But, Ray, I just think, you know, the San Francisco 49ers, every team in this division, when you look at the first weekend, you know, can you really be sure that the 49ers this year will go 2-0 against the Rams? No, you can't. Obviously, they're not going to go 2-0 against the Cardinals, and I doubt they'll go 2-0 against the Seahawks either. So, I mean, they have a gigantic challenge ahead of them. And that's why, you know, the people who they're paying a lot of money to have got to, especially now, you know, will Kittle miss a week or two? You don't know. But this is a huge, huge challenge now for this team, and I think especially for Garoppolo.
All right, so let's go back to the wide receiver issue then. We all agree the wide receiver talent is not where they need it to be. We know Debo's out for at least the next 2 weeks. We've heard rumors about Allen Robinson and Odell Beckham. What do you think of the Niners' interest in and ability to acquire any of those guys?
I mean, I doubt sincerely they're going to be able to get Odell. The money is just too big. You know, the reason, really, the primary reason they got rid of DeForest Buckner was not that they didn't love DeForest Buckner. It's that that you can only pay a certain number of guys. And, you know, you have to think at some point soon you'll pay Deebo Samuel, you would think. So, I mean, you can't bring up. I mean, look, I will be very surprised if they bring in Beckham. And, you know, the other thing about Beckham is, you know, be careful what you wish for. I mean, if the Browns were to trade Odell Beckham, it would be at least, regardless of what they said, it would be at least in part because he's disruptive. The Giants traded him because he was disruptive. And again, so, you know, if I were them, I think Allen Robinson makes some sense. I love Allen Robinson. To me, if Allen Robinson truly is on the market, and if I were the Niners, I'd go after him, and I'd go after him hard.
Peter King, NBC Sports. You talk about the money spent on the talent that the Niners have. They put a lot of draft capital and then paid Dee Ford. They invested draft capital, obviously, in Eric Armstead. They rewarded him with a contract. Those guys were essentially invisible. There is an awful lot of Kyler Murray responsible for that, but I was really surprised to see a dominant defensive line really turn out very little against Arizona.
Right. I was, too, especially because Arizona's line is not great. but I think so much of that, you know, it's one thing, you know, I was watching the Giants-Steelers game last night, and I was just thinking that, you know, what a different job a defensive front has when they face a guy like Roethlisberger. Now you're talking about Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is so quick and so difficult to game plan for because he can disappear from you in the blink of an eye. Whereas if you're rushing a guy like, let's say, Breeze or Roethlisberger or Brady or something like that, you know that guy is not going to be able to be very mobile, and you can, I hate to use the cliche, pin your ears back and just go to a spot in the pocket, but you can. And that's what's different about Kyler Murray. Now, they'll be facing a more traditional guy in Sam Darnold, and then staying back east after that, a guy who has got some legs in Daniel Jones, but I think they'll have a lot better chance against Sam Darnold this week. And look, the Jets offensive line is an absolutely average C-minus line. So if the 49ers do not have a very resurgent day along the defensive front, I'll be worried for the Niners. In the Meadowlands on Sunday, I'd be very worried for the Niners.
Toward that end, how bad are the Jets? Are the Jets so bad that the 49ers don't have to show the incremental? Okay, well then, it leads to my question then. How much better do the 49ers have to get to sort of control that game? And the reason why I ask is, how critical then is it to get everything straightened out for next week, or can they ease into it a bit?
Yeah, I don't, you know, that. And again, nothing is easy in the NFL, especially coming off a game like the Niners just played. There's a lot of things you need to get fixed, a lot. So I wouldn't take it easy or anything like that. I wouldn't. I would definitely, you know, if I were the Niners, this would be an extremely important game. Not only to win, you know, I would expect them to win even if they didn't play very well. But the reason why I think it's a really important game is that at some point soon, you've got to be able to say, hey, listen, this is who we are. We're really good. We have a standard. I remember last year talking to Drew Brees, you know, in training camp, you know, back when you could go to training camp and sit down with people. And one of the things he said to me was, he said, too many people look for the result and they don't worry about the process as much. And what I tell young quarterbacks when I talk to them is, forget about the scoreboard. Don't worry about the scoreboard. Don't worry about the score of the game. You just have to do everything at a very, very high level. And what you don't do at a high level, that's what you practice the most. that's what I think faces the Niners this week. You know, forget who you're playing. It doesn't matter that the Jets might be the worst team in football. You have to make sure for yourselves that you are ready to play a great game, whether you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs or the New York Jets. The opposition doesn't matter. So, to me, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I'm treating this game like the Super Bowl. This is a gigantic game for the 49ers.
And that was Peter King. You'll be able to hear him weekly on 95.7 The Game with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. And Allen Robinson has been the big talk, and I'll get to him in a second. But real quick, just some information on Mohamed Sanu as the 49ers added him yesterday. He started with Cincy in 2012, and he went to Atlanta at the age of 27, so about five seasons later. And his best season was in 2018. He had 838 yards receiving and four touchdowns. He's never had more than five in a season in his career. His only season with Shanahan was in 2016, 653 yards receiving and four touchdowns. He had 11 yards per reception on 81 targets. And the big injury he had was last season, where he had a high ankle sprain in week 11, and he underwent off-season surgery on his ankle. And the Patriots, he came back apparently better in better shape than he's been, and all the reports for the Patriots looked good, but overall they didn't feel like he had a place on the team, even with their crop of wide receivers that couldn't help Tom Brady. But overall, with the Mohamed Sanu signing, I like it. I don't think it's going to put him over the top. I don't think they have this number one wide receiver magically. But he's going to give you that veteran presence that you want. He's over 30 years old. He's been with Kyle Shanahan before. He'll understand the offense and get it pretty quickly. Is he going to be that guy that's going to get separation, which the 49ers wide receivers have had trouble doing? Kyle Shanahan mentioned that they got great separation yesterday, but the stats just don't really point that out. So we can go either or with that one. But overall, I like the signing. I don't think there's any issue with it. Does it put them over the top? No, but it does give them a nice piece and something other than just having to throw to Kendrick Bourne, Dante Pettis, and Trent Taylor as well. And when it comes to when it comes to Allen Robinson and the idea of trading for him, I'd love it for the 49ers. And you know, we can react to whatever they trade for him and whatever value they get, or whatever the value they have to give up in order to get him and whatever roster spot they have to open up. However, I just want Allen Robinson to get traded somewhere for Allen Robinson. The man has been one of the better talented wide receivers in the league since 2014, and the only starting quarterbacks that he's had are Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky. I just want that man to get traded for the sake of himself and for the sake of his career, because I really like Allen Robinson, and I think he's really good. But it's just, if the 49ers want to trade for him, great. I think the 49ers can, but I just think I want the 49ers to trade for him for Allen Robinson, for that guy, for his own well-being, for his football career. I want him to get traded to the Niners for that reason, because the Niners could use him, certainly could. Unlike the signing of Mohamed Sanu, that ultimately could put them over the top. And the OBJ thing, I don't believe the OBJ thing's going to happen, because here's how the season's going to go for the Browns, and this is how it's always going to go. They're going to have bad games. They're going to have good games. And whenever they have good games, they're going to act like they're on top of the world and everything's great and everything's working out great. Then they're going to have another bad loss, and then they're going to go on some sort of media tour where they convince everybody that, no, everything's working out with the new head coach. Everything's fine with Baker. I'm liking this team. I like Cleveland. I'm not going anywhere. That's kind of where this is all going, I feel like, with the Browns. I don't know if they're going to trade Odell Beckham or not. But to me, it just looks like this is already spelling out to be a season where good things are going to happen for the Browns, and we're all going to go nuts. And whenever anything bad happens to them, we're going to talk about they need to just trade the entire team and start a rebuild again, because they're the Browns, and they're just going to go on the media and say that everything's fine, we're working things out, all that sort of stuff. So I don't see the OBJ thing happening. But this Allen Robinson thing, it looks like it could be very real. The trade talks aren't that real yet. He just wants a contract done. I don't know why they haven't paid him yet. They need to find a way to get a different quarterback in there. They got Nick Foles, sure, but Nick Foles was close to retiring before he won a Super Bowl for the Eagles, so I don't know what to make of Nick Foles either. I just think Allen Robinson, I would love the 49ers to trade for him for the sake of Allen Robinson. Not even for the sake of the 49ers, because I just like Allen Robinson that much and have felt sorry for him ever since he's been with Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky for his career. All right, Kozlow and Dibs are coming up next. I'm sure they're going to discuss the Nuggets and the Clippers, share their thoughts on Sanu, Allen Robinson, all of that. So Kozlow and Dibs coming up next. Thanks for joining me, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.